You've killed someone. I have killed someone. If it weren't for my sin, heavenly blood would not have been shed. I want to think with you for a moment about what's said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Glorify God in your body. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It is forever the supreme joy and blessing and honor and salvation that's been given to humanity that God became man. I think of the words of that song, pleased as men, pleased as man with men to dwell. As time goes by, you think about that phrase. You think about the lowest of the low in terms of the organisms in this world. What's an organism? What's a creature that's loathsome and lowly and disgusting to you? A roach? Would you be transformed into a vermin? To live in a dumpster, to scurry about with them and see their doings, to see their feeding and their reproduction and their crawling about, to become a paramecium and thrash about as they do? Would you be content with that kind of existence, knowing what you do now with your mind transplanted into that? What Jesus did to lower himself to earth, as glorious as the creation is that he has made, the condescension is beyond our comprehension. Pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. I want to spend the remainder of our minutes this morning reflecting on the body of Christ and how that shows me the way into how I can glorify God in my body, because he gave the supreme glory to his Father through his physical body. From the very beginning, in the very darkness of man's history with God in the Garden of Eden, a body for the Savior was already prophesied. You remember in the Garden of Eden, after God called out to Adam, Adam, where are you? Well, I was afraid and I hid myself because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? The woman you gave me, she gave to me and I ate. What is this that you have done? The serpent deceived me. The Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. The first words of the gospel, I believe, are found in the word he. One of us, a man,
of the descendant of woman, a human being, one of our own someday, will step out from the ranks of sinful humanity and he will crush the serpent. And he will take a blow for all of us. I think back also to the time of the political turmoil and uncertainty and the fright that was descended upon the nation of Judah during the evil reign of Ahaz. And the prophet Jeremiah comes to him and says, "The Lord will give you victory. He will protect the throne of your father David. You just depend upon him. Would you like a sign? Would you like to ask a sign from the Lord that he would give you to really bolster you and strengthen you?" And Ahaz, so unfaithful and unaware of his need for his God, said, "No, I don't need a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word indeed came and tabernacled. He pitched his tent among mankind to be among us." And in doing so, as the Hebrew author teaches us, one of the reasons that he came and that the Creator clothed himself in the creature's flesh is so that very body would bleed its life out for you and for me. Go over with me to Colossians chapter 1. I think as we're turning over there, in all of the theological hubbub and turmoil to explain what it is that Jesus' atonement involved and what it took and what was all involved with that, can we not simplify things as Scripture simplify it? What does the Hebrew writer say? We've been sanctified by what? The body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." I'm afraid, and I cannot speak for you, I can speak only for myself. I'm afraid in our rush to grasp the profundity and the depths of God's wisdom that we miss that blood drops and a blood-drenched cross is my salvation. Can I not simply accept, for example, that when Israel sounded the trumpet call and yelled, that walls fell? Can I not simply accept that when I am submerged beneath water and I rise again, that I've died with Christ and I've been raised with him? Why can we not simply accept that when he said it is finished, and when blood and water came out, God said this is now more than enough, when nothing before would do? I thank God for the body of his son. And that's what we just remembered. That's what we just focused and concentrated on, was what that body was used for. Go over with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 brings us back to the garden scene. It gives us another window of insight into the garden scene that we read through and meditated on just a few moments ago. In Hebrews chapter 5, notice beginning in verse 7, speaking of Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We do not find this detail in the gospel accounts, do we? We find about the sweat, as if it were bleeding from the head, great sweat just drenching the Christ, wetting his hair. We learn about him falling to the ground and praying, "Father, if you will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." You know what the Spirit reminds us of here or tells us? With vehement cries and tears, who is able to save him from death? The Father was able, but he did not. It doesn't have to be a father. It could be you with any loved one. It could be with a parent. It could be with a brother or a sister. But as life changes, and if God does afford us with parenthood, with fatherhood, to see your son crying to you, knowing you can help, and saying, "No, this is not our plan." How great the Father's love for us, and his son, who said, "Not your will, but not my will, but yours be done." Glorify God in your body. He purchased you. It is his will. And what Jesus did in the garden is what God has called upon you and me to do, whatever that's going to look like in our path and our journey through life. If it requires you to bleed out and give and pour out your soul into death for him or for his people, if that requires you to set aside an ambition and a dream that you have cherished from childhood, if that comes between you and your God, if there is a relationship that is prying you away from your God, if there is anything that stands in the way, not my will, but yours be done. And let's glorify God in your body. Think about the body of Jesus, his eyes, that probably first saw his mother Mary, that young lady, the virgin that conceived, and one of the last things that his physical eyes saw before his death was his mother, years later, at the foot of a cross, eyes that saw the sunset over the hills of Galilee on that west side, the ears that heard, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." The ears that also heard, "Crucify." The hands that cut wood, that built as a carpenter. Hands that touched leprous skin. Hands that touched the eyes of a blind man and made them see. Hands that were pierced through. Feet that walked and bore burdens and bore the man of sorrows, that stood teaching. Feet that were pierced through. His head that deserved a crown and got a wreath of thorns. The curse of Adam. And the body that was pierced through with a spear. Glorify God in your body, no matter what it costs you. And our Father will make sure that you get a return on that investment. But that's not the main thing I want to talk to you about this morning about the body of Christ. It's not actually the scalp, the eyes, the hands, the mouth that said such gracious words to uphold one who is weary. Not his feet. That's not the true body of Christ that he ultimately was delighted to put on and to take on. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to begin reading with you in verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is something that I can read what the Lord has taught us. I can start to comprehend some of it, and yet so much of it I do not. Chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 15. Here he is speaking, yes, ultimately of the body of Christ, the church, in the sense of the saved of all the ages, knowing no boundaries of space and time. But I think it's also evident that the church he speaks of here would include the local congregation because of the ways in which we uniquely touch one another who are joined together in a particular space and time. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." I want you to think for a moment the depth of this lesson, of this mystery that God is teaching us. That as you conceive of yourself from head to toe, our sense of identity and of personhood is that, yes, it might be that my consciousness, my mental states, and all of that would be housed in my brain, housed in my head. And we now understand certain aspects of the neurological system that runs from the brain, the spinal cord, through my limbs and my fingers, through my body, through organs, and how that's expressed in different ways. But when we think about our bodies, it's not the case that I think, well, this is me, like this is Jonathan, but this is just some kind of foreign entity or agent. No, this is me. This is me. This is me. It is all me. And the fact that Jesus Christ would say, "I am a head and you are part of my body," does that not change what you want to do when you wake up every morning and how you direct yourself, how you control yourself, how you discipline yourself to what ends and aims and goals you give yourself? We understand that a body that will not function according to the direction of the head is sick, and it's got to be fixed. And if it's not fixed, it's an ultimate tragedy. We dare not rebel against our head. Another thing about that as well, the body that functions normally understands that all of my parts, all of my members work together for one whole, one aim, one goal. And it's not that different parts of my body are jealous of one another or envious of the attention of one another, but if one part of me hurts, the rest rallies around it. If you stub your toe, you cringe in your face, your body tenses, you might reach down, you might let out a roar or a groan, your whole body feels it. Gettysburg, saints, do you cringe or rejoice or rally around or grab to protect one another? Do you let the body take care of you when you need it? Do you let your head direct you? When one of you hurts, you all hurt. When one of you succeeds spiritually, presents a thought that inspires and helps you from Scripture, utters a prayer that makes a difference for you, leads a song, or serves in ways that no one else ever knows, we rejoice because our head is exercising his control as he wants. And never, God forbid, that you would be jealous of one another or campaign or compete against another or gossip about another, because when you do so, you forget that you're part of the body as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice with me verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body. Through his physical body, spent on earth, as the example of godliness, the atonement for his sin, through his body symbolized in the Lord's Supper, and through his church, Christ glorifies God in his body. And the moment that I start acting up and misbehaving myself as a member of his body, I'm detracting, at least for a moment, from his glory. That'll be fixed in the final judgment day. Don't worry. But I'm depriving myself, severing myself off, even for a moment, from the head. And if I misbehave and I fail to glorify God in his spiritual body long enough, he will not have it. And whether others recognize it or not, he will remove me from his body. Because of Christ's complete submission of his body to the Father's will, he shows us what it means to glorify God in our bodies. So, brethren, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we began our time and our thoughts together this morning, as I opened up with that statement that you and I have killed someone, I want you to reflect upon that and reflect, Christian, on whether or not your life reflects the fact that someone has died because of sin. How dare I go back into that life of sin? And if, Christian, you have, please this morning come to Christ. Come and confess your sins and be part of that body again as a functioning, pleasing, and glorifying member of which Christ is your head. And if, dear friend, you are here and you have never confess Christ as your Lord and your need for him for a Savior, if you have never availed yourself of his atoning blood, died with him and been buried with him and raised with him in baptism, this morning this audience would love to see you and would assist you if you would confess Christ as your Lord this morning, that you would utterly dedicate your life to him, whatever that's going to look like in the future. It'll be his way. Not your will, but his be done. And you'll be immersed in water by someone here. And you'll become a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And he'll hold your hand the rest of the way. But as much as we want that, and we'd do anything to see that if we could, we don't want it half as much as heaven does. If we can help you, make that known while we stand and sing a song of encouragement.